Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's what I would like to do.
Cowboys.
For all you Cowboys fans out there.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the way that they lost last year is a chip on shoulder that they're going to cash in. Now that I'm done, I don't think that's going to happen.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. From FX's Little Demon. Actors Danny and Lucy DeVito. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a very busy Friday in Los Angeles, California. We say hello to everybody out there on the terrestrial radio network that listens to us every single day on this station that is smart enough and, yes, kind enough to have us in your ear gate every single day. Thanks to our friends at the Cumulus Radio Network, and the Cumulus Podcast Network is also the spot where you can get this show every single day and download it as you wish every single day on demand. And we greatly appreciate anybody who hits that subscribe button on the RSS feed. And for those of us who are wondering when you can see us on something other than our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Once again, we are coming to the Roku channel starting in September, and we're so very excited to be moving to that new home. You can watch the Roku channel on any Roku device, Fire TV, or select Samsung TVs. You can also watch on the RokuChannel.com or download the Roku mobile app. The best part about it all is that it is free, and we could not be more excited about that. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Are you lighting the candle? We're coming to you first here today on this program.
I mean, the candle's lit. It's Friday. I'm sporting the NWO Wolfpack today. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Fantastic. Rich. Very good. Good to see you, Jay Felly. How are you today,
hey,
sir?
I'm good. Good job getting your mic on there, TJ.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait a minute. See, you see, Rich, this is why I tell. That's why I got to come at him sometimes.
Okay, very good.
There was no need for that.
No, it's all good. It's all good in this hood. We're greatly appreciative of that. Chris Brockman just hit the start on our YouTube stream, so he's about to join us in his chair in just a few seconds right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, that's it right there.
Is that a lot of buttons over there? Very good.
Rich, we're like the Bloods and the Crips today, red and blue. We're unity is what we're all about.
I was unaware of that. I appreciate you doing all that. So, okay, very good. So good to see you go over there, Chris Brockman. What you been up to there
today?
Hey,
what's up? Oh, you know, just saving the world.
Like, very good. So our YouTube stream, people can see us right now? Is that what's happening?
We should be up on... Oh, wait, hold on. We should be up on YouTube... I want to double check that, actually.
Okay, very good. We're just checking on all of that. Good to see.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. No, we're up. Hey, what's up, everybody? 457.
Good to see you all. We appreciate you all being patient with us here on this program today. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We already got people on hold. We always appreciate that. We've got a triple. Well, I guess we've got four guests. In the first hour, coming up in about 17 minutes time, is our friend from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, will be joining us on this program. Pro Football Talk Live starts the day at the NBC Sports on Peacock Network. Michael Smith, who's also on Brother from Another on Peacock, but also made his debut on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime Video last night. And he'll be joining us at 20 minutes after the hour in our second hour of the program. And 20 minutes after the hour in our final hour is Danny and Lucy DeVito, the father and daughter combo that is not only part of the executive producing crew, but also the voices of the new animated show on FX, Little Demon. And Danny DeVito was live tweeting that last night on his Twitter account, without any other indication that he was live tweeting his show.
People were losing their minds.
And the stuff that he was tweeting last night, without knowing he was talking about playing Satan in this new animated show that he and his daughter are not only helping voice but executive produce. People thought Danny kind of lost his mind because he also wasn't threading it. And that's one way to trend on Twitter. So Danny will be in studio along with his daughter in hour number three.
I read one tweet and I was like, I had to read it three times. I'm like, oh, wait a second.
It's Lil Demon.
Oh, it's Lil Demon.
And we'll be talking about it with Danny tomorrow. So Danny's going to be joining us along with Lucy DeVito, father-daughter combination, coming up in hour number three. So the kickoff of the NFL season, Thursday night, September 8th. Boy, did that get a whole new look-see to it just in the last 24 hours. Let's start here with the defending Super Bowl champs, the Los Angeles Rams, who win the Super Bowl. Aaron Donald says, put a ring on my finger, and he's one of the main reasons why there's a ring on everybody's finger. Well, you can't even call it a ring. As we all know, it's as large as the moon itself, and it actually opens up, and you can actually stay in there. There's a two-bedroom apartment that's
like
inside
four
ring.
$4,000 a month.
Air conditioning, just everything in there. Yeah. So, he, yesterday, in practice with the Bengals, how about that, by the way?
Right.
Winds up with not one, but two Bengals helmets in his hand in a scrum and starts swinging it like he's Myles Garrett looking for Mason Rudolph.
Come on.
And no, I mean, but that is what everybody's pointing out today. Cleveland Browns fans are clapping back at a lot of people today. Because if Myles Garrett got six games for doing that to Myles Rudolph, how many games is Aaron Donald going to get now that he's in the middle of a scrum swinging at people with helmets? Talk about dangerous.
You know the answer to that, though, right?
The answer is going to be zero, because the NFL does not have, apparently, any purview in terms of disciplining players for activities that happen during practice. Those are team-related and team, I guess, that's the bailiwick of the team to handle any practice-related suspensions. And the reason for that is the league's not going to step in the middle of a practice set to for a team. The problem is, though, is now in this day and age, where there's one fewer preseason games. Last night, a couple of games that we saw last night, one on Amazon Prime between the Niners and the Texans, and then another one between the Chiefs and the Packers. Those teams are done with preseason. August 25th, done. Preseason over. With one fewer preseason game, there are more and more intra-squad practices going on, and those teams practice with each other all week and then play each other. That's one way to tell the coaches, we're going to have one fewer preseason game, but you're going to still get a nice amount of work in with your guys, and there's going to be enough de facto live action for you to give as close to game situations as possible on practice field, so you don't have to suit up in a preseason game and put players' health, potentially, and injury-prone moments on the line. Problem is, though, is when you put two teams together, that's kind of like, if it's not a game, it is enough to maybe rise to the level of the league having purview over anything that happens between two teams. One team, the league can be told, butt out. Two teams, the league might have to step in. Certainly, if you're going to put two teams together on the field that may have an issue with one another, like, say, one team beat the other in the Super Bowl. Gee whiz, you're going to have two teams that are in the Super Bowl together, practice together just a few months later. What could go wrong?
Oh, that old game, the Super Bowl?
That whole thing that changes lives and legacies and bank accounts?
That guy,
And even with two coaches who know each other and love each other in McVay and Zach Taylor, when it's 90 degrees out in Thousand Oaks, right? What's going to happen when it's 90 degrees out? Tempers flare, and then all of a sudden helmets come off. Apparently Lyle Collins had a Rams helmet in his hand, or a helmet in his hand before this happened.
Apparently he kicked it off.
It's always the second guy, though.
Well, the second guy happens to be the best defensive player in the league, with all due respect to everybody else. And a first ballot Hall of Famer who's going to get that jacket one day.
That's an excuse what he did.
Nope. I don't know what happened yesterday. This was Sean McVay afterwards.
I would say this. I don't know what I was. I just see guys swinging, and some guys have helmets on, some don't. There's a scrum. You just never know what can occur. And my biggest concern is just unnecessary injuries, for people that we're counting on, whether it's for our team or the other team. But that's to me where, you know, I care about these guys. And, especially when you start throwing punches with gear on, you know, I've been enough of a meathead in my past that I've done some stupid stuff too. So I know how volatile and how fragile it is, where you hit it the wrong way and then you break your hand, and you know, it could affect a guy's chance to you know, be okay, or God forbid somebody gets hit in the head with the helmet off. And so that was really just, I don't know what emotions I was feeling right there. I just was glad when everything got broken up, and my understanding was everybody's okay.
And thank goodness for that. And that's a very level-headed response, to say the least, right there from Sean McVay. He's not going to suspend Aaron Donald. The Rams aren't going to suspend Aaron Donald. Why would they suspend Aaron Donald? It's not going to happen.
Because it's the right thing to do?
That is the right thing to do. But you're taking on the Bills and Josh Allen in 13 days. You're going to suspend Aaron Donald?
It's just one game.
Uh-huh.
He should be suspended. We can all agree with that, right?
Then Lyle Collins should be suspended too.
Great.
Right. And then we should just move on with our lives.
Absolutely.
And Browns fans are going to be hearing me kind of say that the Rams aren't going to do anything about it. The problem is Myles Garrett did it on a football field in front of the whole country watching, and the NFL has purview over that. And apparently the NFL can't do anything about this. They now should be able to. They should be able to step in here.
Absolutely.
They should be able to step in here. And if there's a rule against it, change it. To be honest.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's reckless. He should know better.
And certainly if you're going to start having intra-squad, like maybe you make a rule where if it's one guy in practice against his own guys, you have to handle it, Rams, or fill in the blank. If you got two teams out there in an intra-squad practice, that's now a league issue. Man, and that is reckless, to say the least. Anybody out there swinging helmets? But as Sean McVay said, this is he's been a meathead before too. I don't know. Will the league step in? That's one of the things we'll talk to Mike Florio about in about 8 minutes' time.
When you say change it, then that's going to open up the NFL to having now to watch every practice.
The NFL has to watch every player every day in the personal conduct policy. Everybody. Every day. The minute you come into the NFL, they overlook or have to be responsible in disciplining a player for anything that can happen 24/7, 365, the minute somebody becomes an NFL player, for their personal conduct. So why can't we
so you
in
want
the
them
NFL
to
be
review
able to
every practice that goes? I don't think the players or the teams
practice
are going to like that.
Or some, I don't know. Too bad. Then don't swing helmets at people.
I get it, but you know, we always talk about these guys. They're savages. They're not like you and I and normal people. Like, so
I understand. I lose my head around my kids. I lose my head in certain situations too, where you just lose your head. But I, you know, when you lose your temper, but you don't physically strike somebody with a helmet. I don't do that. And I understand I'm not in a scrum 90 degrees and it's happening and you're trying to protect your teammates.
And that's a totally fine point, TJ, except the NFL already created a precedent for this type of behavior.
Yeah, during a game when he swung a helmet at another player who didn't have a helmet on. From what I looked at, and I watched as many times, he was swinging it, but he hit guys on helmets. Not condoning it,
I think nothing's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anything's going to happen.
And I think the league should now understand that there is a loophole that they can't step in when something deserves for the league to step in, because they apparently have no purview over practices. But this is not a practice. This is an intra-squad scrimmage that is happening over and over and over again throughout the league because they took a preseason game away. Another thing we're going to talk about with Mike Florio in a moment is Matt Araiza, who we first met last year through our Rich Eisen Show NIL sponsorship program that we had, where we're giving out $1,000 and free product to kids who don't expect to have a deal based on their name, image, and likeness, based on their play on the field. And Araiza was a tremendous punter at San Diego State and wound up being the third drafted punter in the NFL draft this year. And I remember sitting on the set scratching my head saying, why? How is this guy not the first punter off the board? Well, now we may have found out why. Because there's a civil lawsuit that was filed against him and two of his teammates at San Diego State at the time for, I don't think I've ever said these words on the show, gang raping an underage girl. And I saw the civil lawsuit that was filed against Ariza and two others. And to say the details are shocking and disgusting is an understatement and an affront to the words shocking and disgusting. I said this when I read the multiple civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, and I will say this for Matt Ariza as well, that if this is true, I called Watson's behavior vile. This is beyond vile. This is apparently what appears to be criminal behavior at worst. And the authorities in San Diego, apparently the detectives in the case, according to the LA Times, just recently handed their evidence to authorities in Southern California to decide whether charges need to be filed against Matt Ariza, who denies this through his lawyer, who said that the individual in the case, he inferred it's a money play, which is interesting because usually money plays are not involving third round drafted punters in the NFL. And certainly money plays don't usually occur when somebody goes to the police the day after the incident, as the civil lawsuit lays out and the Los Angeles Times has reported. So based on everything that I am seeing, the Bills, who are playing tonight with Ariza on the team, I don't know what their recourse is other than to sit him down for sure for the time being while this is playing out. And cutting him sounds like a pretty damn good idea too, but I don't have all the facts in the case right now, but I wanted to just say what I'm thinking and feeling reading this. Outrage isn't just as a father and a human on the planet. And then gobsmacked and absolutely gutted, and then also embarrassed that we had him part of our NIL deal. Need to hear from him, got to hear from him, and I bet we're not going to hear from him. Certainly not from the Bills, and certainly not from his attorney, who apparently, again, said that this never happened, even though, according to all reports and this lawsuit, it occurred in his house, the party. And it happened 10 days before he was on this show talking to us, and we were giving him a deal.
Gross.
And I am just beside myself about that. And the Bills said they're doing a thorough investigation. According to Tim Graham, who covers the team in Western New York, he reached out to the young lady's attorney, who confirmed the Bills have not reached out to him or her. Doesn't sound very thorough on its face. And the league can't step in here either because this happened before he was a pro. That's the rules. So anybody out there, once again, looking to the NFL to administer punishment that local authorities either have yet to or unwilling to or decline to, that's not an option either. So that's what's happening with the team that I said the other day, I think can go to the Super Bowl this year. And this is what's going to be hanging around the team the entire time. I mean, seriously, if the Bills think they could just wait this out and hope, you know, and hopefully get through it, well, what's that going to happen? What's that going to look like in media day in Arizona? I mean, really, that's 24 weeks from now. But there is a, you know, innocent until proven guilty, even though clearly I have stated the way I feel about what I've read and what I have seen. But for the time being, I mean, I don't know if there's a team exempt list or anything like that. We'll talk about it with Mike Florio. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So let's take a break. And when we come back, lots to talk about with Mike, including the Jimmy G scenario. What's going on with him? Because that clock needs to strike midnight in just a few days' time. What's going on in that world and more? Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk when we come back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're here on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. We're here until we move to the Roku channel in September. And we welcome back here on the Rich Eisen Show our friend from Pro Football Talk, and PFT Live is what kicks off our former spot, NBC Sports on Peacock, every single day. And we say happy 28th wedding anniversary to a man at Pro Football Talk. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Mike Florio. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thank you very much for that. My wife is allowing me to work today, which is not really much of a sacrifice. It's less time she has to deal with me. So it's for her, a very good day.
Do you know what's the precious metal for 28 years? Do you know that off the top of your head, Mike? Do we know that?
Zinc?
Is it? Zinc. Hold on, Brockman, you've got it. What is it?
Orchids.
Orchids. Oh, that's easy. Go to the shop.
Orchids.
Oh, now I got to go find some orchids.
Look at that. Look at that. We got the photograph that you tweeted out. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Hair still on point.
Yes, really, Mike. That's impressive. That is impressive.
And mostly mine.
Well, anyway, happy anniversary to you. And as you referred to it, Mrs. PFT, well done right there. All right. Let's start first up with Matt Araiza. And what is going on and what the league must be thinking about it. And they don't have any jurisdiction to place him under the personal conduct policy because this happened before he was a pro. Is that the case, Mike?
Anything that happens before guys drafted or signs an undrafted free agent contract is off limits. Now, if he would get in any sort of off-field trouble in the future under the personal conduct policy, penalties could be expedited or enhanced or both because of the past incident. Whatever the facts may be, it becomes relevant to the examination then. But if he never gets in any issues, it's never something that factors into what the league could do. But realistically, you take a step back. This isn't Deshaun Watson. This isn't a quarterback. This is a punter. Now, I don't know what the Bills knew back in April. There have been reports that they didn't know about this. They became aware of it at some point since then. What would they have done differently if they had known about this? Would they have used a sixth-round pick if they had known about these allegations? What have they learned if, presumably, they've investigated it? And what will they do moving forward? They could cut him if they wanted to. Now, the union could file a grievance, and they may have to pay him his salary. But if you believe, based upon the investigation that you perform, the league has resources, the Bills have resources, if they come to the conclusion they think this guy may be responsible for what he did, he's a punter. You find a different punter. And I know punters are people too, but that is the most interchangeable position on a football team other than long snapper and holder. And do the Bills want to carry this cloud into their season? Does the NFL want Matt Araiza punting on NBC in 13 days when the Bills and the Rams play to start the season? I don't think it's something the NFL would want, and I presume that they would put him on paid leave if he fell within that specific portion of the personal conduct policy, but he doesn't because it happened before he got drafted.
Is there such a thing for a team paid leave where the team has like their own exempt list in the way that the commissioner would have?
That power went away in the 2006 CBA after what the Eagles did to Terrell Owens, and before that the Buccaneers did it to Keyshawn Johnson, where they basically sent him home with pay. But if the guy agrees to it, like last year, Deshaun Watson, happy to get paid to not play for the Texans. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo this year, happy to get paid to not play for the 49ers. If the Bills would go to him and say, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to deactivate you every week. You're still on the 53-man roster. You're still part of the team, but we're going to have a different punter, and you're just not going to suit up and you're not going to play while this goes forward. And if he's okay with it, it's not a problem. It's only a problem if he says, no, I insist on my right to be on the roster, and I don't agree to go along with this. And if that's the case, then it gets more complicated. But they could. They could do it. And we've seen it. As long as the player's okay with it, the team could do it.
And then, you know, I'm just, you know, I just learned about this yesterday, as most of us did, right? So From what I have read, it appears that the detectives in this case, who actually were on a what I read is a pretext call with the victim, the alleged victim, and the and Ariza. Before we get to where the detectives are with this case, and I ask you about that, what is a pretext call? Because that is the most damning portion of the civil lawsuit that I read yesterday.
Well, that is, and I did not handle criminal defense work when I practiced law, but it appears to be a device that allows detectives to listen in to conversations that potentially would be incriminating, and it sounds like there were some incriminating things said there as it relates to whether or not there were sexual relations between Ariza and the 17-year-old girl. His lawyer did a TV interview last night, and he basically admitted that something happened. The position is there was nothing forcible, that he didn't know she was under 18, which introduces a completely different set of problems, because in California, you have to be 18 years of age, and there are some exceptions, and one of them would be that, you know, he's young enough that he just really didn't know, and she misrepresented her age, et cetera. So there are various potential avenues for criminal liability, and it sounds like on this call he said some things that complicate his situation, and things that could lead the Bills to become sufficiently concerned that they would take some sort of action about it.
And then, according to the LA Times, the detectives just recently delivered their findings to authorities about whether now placing it in front of people whose decision it is to charge or not. So my question for you is, based on whatever knowledge you may have on similar circumstances, how long do you think does that take usually? Because I'm wondering if a team paid leave that Ariza would accept as opposed to being cut is a workable, for the moment, response. Do you think?
We fall back to the same situation we were in with Deshaun Watson, where a grand jury potentially could be presented with the evidence. Would the prosecutor be motivated to get an indictment, understanding that eventually you have to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? How aggressively would the prosecutor push for an indictment? Is there a mechanism for charging without a grand jury? So it all comes down to, ultimately, does a prosecutor believe that he or she can prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt? Prosecutors don't like to take on cases that they think they may lose, and they have incredible power and discretion. They're the most powerful individuals in any local justice system, more so than the judges, because the judges are limited by what's put on their docket. The prosecutors are the ones who decide what gets put on the docket and what doesn't. So that subjective assessment of the case, the belief in whether or not they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, that goes a long way toward determining whether or not charges are going to be filed here. And it obviously reaches a very different level if he would be indicted for some sort of felony crime under California law. At that point, he may not want to be on the Buffalo Bills. He may want to focus all of his time and efforts on preparing his defense, exonerating his name, and then if he's able to, and then continuing his career at some point in the future.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk creator and also author of Playmakers, where all books are sold, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of the Aaron Donald helmet swing and the effects that it may have on the league's thinking, the Rams, the Bengals? What do you got for me there, Mike?
It's amazing to me that the league has no authority over players who engage in misconduct in joint practice. When you look at the personal conduct policy, why wouldn't they? There's a specific provision in there that prevents violence or threatened violence in any workplace setting. And the way that we understand a personal conduct policy, it applies anywhere you are, on duty, off duty, any day of the year, any portion of the globe. If you do something that falls within any of those categories, you can and will be punished by the NFL. I think they should activate Judge Sue L. Robinson. I think they should propose a punishment. And if the union huffs and puffs, and if the union is able to pull some legal rabbit out of the hat, so be it. At least the NFL took a stand. Because, Rich, you know, one of the first things Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, said is, well, nobody was injured. Well, this time nobody was injured. Can you imagine getting hit by a helmet swung by someone with the strength and power of Aaron Donald? Mm-mm. Sooner or later, one of these incidents is going to happen, and someone's going to have a traumatic brain injury, or worse. And what are they going to do then? Say, oh, we didn't think that could ever happen. Well, how many times do you have to see a guy swing a helmet like a weapon before you recognize that one of these days he's going to hit that guy in the wrong spot, and there's going to be a serious outcome. And I think it's incumbent on the Rams and the league. You know, the Rams aren't going to do anything about it. The only way the Rams would do anything about it is if the league says to the Rams, and I checked on this last night, the league has the power to impose punishment on the Rams for not controlling their guys. If the league would say to the Rams, here's what we're going to do to you if you don't suspend Aaron Donald, then maybe the Rams would do it. Maybe there's a way that happens. But I think something needs to happen here. It's a horrifying image. And I know it's Aaron Donald. I know he's one of the most popular players in the league. And I know the idea of him not being available 13 days from now for Bills-Rams would you know, be disappointing to people. But look at what they did to Myles Garrett. And how can we say that what Aaron Donald did yesterday was any different, other than we don't have a clear shot of somebody taking a helmet over the top of their head like Mason Rudolph did 3 years ago.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's hit a couple of stories that have been out there for months, right? I mean, just sitting there, and we've been talking about it and ruminating about it and wondering what the eventual ending will be, and it seems like we're going to get an answer in the next couple of weeks, starting with Lamar Jackson's contract conversation. What's the latest on that with the Ravens and Jets set to play in a couple Sundays?
This continues to be a situation where you've got two sides speaking two different languages because there's no agent to serve as the go-between between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And I don't think they're going to get it done by week one. Now, after that, who knows? And there's a chance that the Ravens put their best offer on the table and Jackson realizes it's in his best interest to take it and to not continue to roll the dice with his financial best interests and the reality that he could suffer an injury that would make him less financially attractive in the future. It reminds me of what happened with Roquan Smith, the Bears linebacker. He represents himself. Who's there to have that conversation with the player when he's evaluating that last best offer from the team? Because I've heard this from many agents over the years. At some point, they'll say, I think I could get him more. He probably deserves more. But if this were my son, I couldn't tell him in good conscience to not take this. Sometimes you need that voice with experience, wisdom, and just a broader understanding of what potentially happens next if you don't take it. So there's a chance that he has that epiphany and decides to take their best offer. But if he doesn't, all bets are off moving forward, and they may never do a deal. After this season, who knows what's going to happen. But I think that right now it would be a surprise if they managed to work it out.
So just so I'm aware here, how does it work? So it's possible that Lamar goes from the film room with Greg Roman, his OC, has that conversation, goes to the quarterback room, chit-chats with the quarterbacks, and then Eric DaCosta knocks on the door. The GM says, let's come up to my office, and then the two of them have a contract conversation. That's literally the way it's working right now in Baltimore?
That's the way it's supposed to work, and because of the stuff that happened a couple of weeks ago with Roquan Smith, where someone who isn't certified by the union was calling teams to try to generate trade interest, even though the Bears had not given permission for it, the league sent out a memo saying, look, when guys represent themselves, you can only negotiate with the player. And what some players are doing, they actually do use someone who isn't NFLPA certified, and they've got like a burner email account, and that agent, air quotes agent, pretends to be the player in the negotiations. Now, I'd like to think the Ravens are sufficiently astute that they're not going to do anything that could potentially get them in trouble with the league, but that just makes it more difficult, makes it even harder to try to get to an end result, given that at this point they're focused on week one, but they should be. And at some point, that's why it needs to end, and they need to stay focused on week one. I remember last year he wasn't interested. This year, at least, he's engaged, but without an agent. And I understand the arguments against it, but the argument for it is so clear. You're a football player. You're an expert in football. You're not an expert in negotiating. Hire someone who is, and you get the deal done that you deserve, and you can focus on the thing that you're best at.
So you just feel the way things are talking right now, it doesn't get done, or you just feel that's the, you know, it's a 12:01 league, right? 1 minute after midnight.
Well,
so could
that's
the,
right.
Could this be
what,
just
what,
the?
What it comes down to is, what's their best offer? And so, that's all negotiation is about. You're trying to coax the absolute best offer out of the person you're negotiating with. Once it's on the table, then you can evaluate it. If it's truly the best offer, there's always potential. There's a little bit more and a little bit more. But Raven, let's say the Ravens put their absolute best bottom line offer on the table early next week. They got a week before they're fully focused on the Jets. Here we go. This is it. This is all we're going to do. This is what we're willing to pay you. Take it or leave it. Then the question becomes, is he able to properly come to the conclusion that that offer is better for him than taking $23 million this year and rolling the dice next year, either with a franchise tag from the Ravens or another team trying to trade for him, which is possible. Which level of franchise tag is exclusive and non-exclusive? And non-exclusive would let the team try to sign him to an offer sheet, and then the Ravens could either match it and say, thank you very much for getting him to agree to a contract. We tried for 2 years, and we couldn't. Thank you for doing our work for us. And then they've got him under contract. Or they could not match it and take 2 first-round picks. So this can go a lot of different ways. And the other thing that could happen, too, he could have demands that they won't meet, and then as the season unfolds, they could change their mind and say, hey, we'll give you what you wanted. And if he's still willing to take that, they could get this done during the season. Just because he wants to get it done by week one doesn't mean that the door is forever shut.
Well, I got a franchise tag as their backstop, too, you know, for next year. So it's not like this is a do or die, but obviously they'd like to do it for various reasons. And hopefully he gets what he wants. I'm Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Jimmy G situation, walk me through the dates where clocks strike midnight and things have to happen and what the Niners are thinking. Or Jimmy G, what do you got for me on that one?
4 p.m. Eastern, coming up in just 4 days. That's when the roster cuts to 53. Would they otherwise part ways with a guy that they want on the team? Cut him, he goes through waivers, he gets claimed, he's gone forever. Would they do that? Would they basically carry 52 guys on the roster and keep Jimmy Garoppolo after Tuesday? And I think they will, because they're still waiting for lightning to strike in the form of a starting quarterback getting lost for the season with another team a la Teddy Bridgewater 2016. So the next key date after August 30 is September 10, 4 p.m. Eastern. If he's on the roster at that moment, his salary locks in under the CBA. As a practical matter, it's guaranteed all year long, $24.2 million. Mm. Now, I'm starting to think they're crazy enough to keep him. And, Rich, here's my theory. I've been meaning to write this, and I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Okay.
I think they are seriously considering paying him at that rate every week through the trade deadline while they wait for that call to come. And we saw it 11 years ago. Carson Palmer, who was not going to play for the Bengals again, and the Bengals weren't inclined to trade him. Jason Campbell breaks a collarbone for the Raiders, and the Raiders cough up what it takes to get Carson Palmer 2 days before the trade deadline. So I think they could be inclined to pay him 1 week at a time. And then if we get past the trade deadline, it could be an OBJ situation where they say to Jimmy G, look, we can just keep paying you, but you can't play for anyone else. Or we'll cut you if you agree to take 40%, 50%, 60%, whatever percent of your remaining money. If you cut some of that debt that we owe you for your freedom, then that's something we would consider. And that's exactly what the Browns did last year with OBJ. And I think that's the end game. They hold, if they're crazy enough to keep him beyond week one, you keep him through week eight, through the trade deadline, and if you don't get an opportunity to trade him, then you work out a deal where he gives up some of that money on the back end, and he moves on and waits for an opportunity to try to play for a team at some point this year. But it's so different at quarterback than receiver. Mm-hmm. Because who are you going to play for? You're still waiting for someone to get injured, and are they really going to sign you and plug you in December or January when they have a backup who knows the offense and knows the personnel? I think that's a stretch.
And they still have, if Lance gets hurt, right? Jimmy G would be there.
That's all the more reason to kind of keep him on ice. You know, that injury that they're waiting for could happen in their own backyard. And wouldn't that be the ultimate outcome to this, that Jimmy G ends up playing for the 49ers and they end up getting to the playoffs and
Super Bowl.
To the brink of the Super Bowl again.
Oh, my God. Mike Florio, thank you for the time, and thank Mrs. PFT for making you available for us today. I appreciate that. Happy anniversary to you two, crazy lovebirds, and look for my call as always. And if you ever need me for anything, you know I'm there. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate All right, thanks, pal. Have a great weekend.
Right back at you at Pro Football Talk, a must follow. Let's take a break. Lots to unpack right there. By the way, there was there was a moment yesterday in practice. I believe it was either yesterday or Wednesday, and we didn't discuss it yesterday. I think it was yesterday where it was an almost get Jimmy G on the phone moment for another team in the NFL for just a split second.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll hit that. And there are people asking for an update on our crazy-ass fantasy league. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. That's next on the program. Back here on YouTube.com/RichEisen Show, Odyssey, and now our terrestrial radio affiliates have just rejoined us here on this Friday program. Callaway's Chrome Soft Golf Balls. We just saw a video with Al Michaels talking about playing golf, and I love playing golf with Al. I don't know if he plays the Chrome Soft family of golf balls.
Well, I mean, what's the deal?
I think he needs to.
I'm gonna
take care of that. I'm gonna put the Callaway Chrome Soft regular in his hand.
Regular. Not the X.
I don't know if he needs the high spin.
Yeah, Al's not a spin rate guy.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. You know, he just wants to hit it, and he wants to hit it and make sure he finds it again.
That's the key.
The great Al Michaels. I use Chrome Soft regular golf balls because of the wider range of golfers. Chrome Soft X and Chrome Soft XLS are for varying degrees of excellence with your, I assume, Callaway golf clubs as well. So you will love these golf balls. They are awesome because they are ensured to be the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible thanks to the precision technology that's design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. When you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best, and it's better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Yesterday, I saw this yesterday. I believe it happened yesterday. My apologies if it was the day before. But this is the type of thing that can happen in a practice, and I'm not talking about swinging helmets at each other. I'm talking about hitting your hand on a helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for a split second, in Browns practice, Jacoby Brissett hit the helmet of a defender while following through in practice and wound up shaking his hand in pain for a split second. And all I could think, Kevin Stefanski apparently, from what I read, got upset with the defenders being close to his quarterback. Like, get away. I mean, you only know one speed in practice, right? Well, apparently you need to know more than one speed in practice. Do not get anywhere near Jacoby Brissett.
Stay
so
away.
He follows through. And as much as I've talked about, I love Josh Dobbs and think that he would be an incredible story for the Cleveland Browns, as would Jacoby Brissett, by the way, if he goes and wins, let's just say, 7 of the 11. Could you imagine he hands a 7-4 team back to Deshaun Watson after the bye? Okay.
I would be surprised, but possible.
Brissett succeeding would be a great story, and Josh Dobbs, I mean, my gosh, he's just such a great human on the planet, although I just don't think Stefanski wants to throw him out there in week one. That would have been the where's Jimmy G phone call, which is what the Niners are thinking right now. Hold on to him, and Jed York, friend of the program, has said we'll hold on to him, and so did John Lynch. Well, hold on to him. Knowing, as he said last night on the Amazon broadcast, knowing he knows it's Lance's team. And he will be there. He's a good enough guy, and we owe him. How crazy would that be if Garoppolo starts with the team week one? And I guess what? Would he can't be healthy scratch. He's got to be dressed. If he's healthy and he's on the team, he's got to be dressed if Lance follows through and hits his hand on somebody's helmet.
Has to be. He has to be their backup.
He has to be their backup.
If he's on the roster.
If he is on the roster, he must be their backup. And if he struggles, the number of times that you'll hear, that Kyle Shanahan will hear, hey, you going to go with him or not?
Which is why you can't keep him.
That's why you can't keep him.
Right.
Well, you can, because if you're Kyle Shanahan, you could basically tell the gathered masses, I'm Kyle Shanahan. This is the way it is.
You don't want those questions, though.
You don't want them.
Single week.
You don't want them.
Certainly if he has a game similar to, say, last night, he's doing well against the blitz. Maybe you don't blitz him.
Definitely don't blitz him. He can take off and run. He's got that unique skill set, man.
They are all sitting there.
Let me check the old.
You know who looked good last night? You know who looked good last night?
Jacob DeGrom?
No, another pitcher.
Oh.
Davis Mills.
Touchdown pass.
Davis Mills. I don't know, man. Look out for him.
Texans are the favorite to have the worst record in the league.
I would definitely
It's just funny to hear you say that. The favorite to have the worst record.
Are you serious?
They are. Yeah.
I think you are incorrect about that.
Plus 350.
Incorrect.
I think it's going to be Seattle.
I know you think that. I would counsel against that. Texans being better than you think too. Davis Mills and the Texans have the neck up on a lot of teams.
Hey now.
Jesus. What? Leg up. I mean
leg. Come on, Rich Eisen.
I meant leg.
Yeah. Huh?
That's what you meant. Reach Eisen.
Reach Eisen. I was accused of being Reach Eisen when I chose Cooper Kupp second overall in this fantasy league. Yep.
That's not what we were invited to.
I went, no, hold on a second. Let me unpack this. Yeah, okay. We were invited, for those who may not know, we got invited by the actor Joe Latrullio to join a fantasy league. Or I got this invitation.
You got it.
12 teams, and all you have to do is draft. You draft 20 players for 9 spots. And every player is available for that week and active. And then the computer at the end of the day chooses the best 9 scores based on 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a defense, no kickers.
Right.
And if anybody is hurt or anybody is cut by a team, too bad. There are no trades, no waiver wire pickups done. The team that you draft is the team that you have. 20 players, 9 spots. That's it.
You got to have some depth.
And the draft, everybody drafts in a snake draft. It starts once all 12 spots are filled.
Yeah.
And it's a 2-hour period to draft somebody. If you go to sleep, you know, you have to set your roster. You have to set your queue so you don't get auto-picked after a 2-hour period to get somebody that you don't really want.
Right. But we learned that gets shut off overnight.
We found that out over. Well, yeah. I mean, so I'm still setting it up. Yeah. I asked you guys, you want to be the 12th team.
Yeah, we're
you
in.
Beat Bobby Cannavale to the punch, and then we found out who's in it. It's Latrullio, it's Paul Rudd, it's John Hamm, and then a whole bunch of Brooklyn Nine-Nine guys, and then a whole bunch of other guys we don't know from their regular fantasy league that they have together.
Right.
You got the first overall pick.
And we somehow got the first pick.
And then I got the second overall
pick. And you
got
the second pick.
You chose Jonathan Taylor. I chose Cooper Kupp. And somebody accused me of being Reach Eisen for getting Cooper Kupp. I'm like, it's a PPR league. He's the best. Hold on a minute. 4 hours later, we were back on the clock.
Right.
Me before you.
Correct.
Okay. And so I chose Aaron Jones as my guy.
Yep.
Then you wound up choosing, who are your next guys? You chose Keenan Allen and
Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And then I had my next pick, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do here? Because I've got a tight end spot I could fill, or another receiver, or another running back.
Correct.
And what I wound up doing is I said, screw it. I'm going to get the guy who's going to probably have the most fantasy points in the league, and I'm going to get somebody I'm going to love watching and who, knock on wood, answers the bell. I chose Josh Allen.
Oof.
And you called me Reach Eisen. The two of you guys got right in there.
That was free. No one said Reach about Cooper Kupp. At least we didn't.
No, you didn't. But you guys did.
We were reaching on Reach Allen on Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's where the Reach, not Cooper Kupp.
No. Now there's been a run. Now there's been a run in
run on quarterbacks. Like, everyone's gone now. Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow. And so TJ and I, were on
you're
the
on
clock.
The clock now.
We're on the clock right now.
Who are you going to choose?
We have 2 picks.
What do you got?
We don't know, Rich.
I don't know, to be honest. Like, you taking Kittle, that's fine.
I just did.
You have another guy who gets hurt a lot. It's okay.
Please. Aaron Jones, Cooper Kupp, George Kittle. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. How you doing? I love these people, too. I love rooting for them.
We have 2 top 10 running.
Yes. I got good people who I like to root for.
The thing is, TJ, do we go Lamar here?
How do you not? You gotta get them.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.